If you have your Bibles, turn to John, the 14th chapter. You know, when I was raising or being raised or living in Kentucky or going to church when I was younger, whatever you want to put there, on Wednesday nights they called it prayer meeting. And there was a lot of times we'd go and that's all that they did. But tonight I would like to go over some things that have been sown into me. In you know, I talked a little bit about laying things down Sunday and picking them back up. You know, that God's been showing me there's times in life that to pick things back up. And that I'd set them down or walked away from them or hesitated on them or got too busy about them. There's all kinds of excuses, but the fact is, I'm picking it back up. God's brought it to my attention. And when he talks to me and I get an opportunity to talk to you, I guess that's the best way to do it. John, the 14th chapter. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. Father, I thank you for hearing my prayers. I thank you for opening my eyes. Holy Spirit, speak through me, through your word, that all that hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. John, the 14th chapter, in the 16th verse, said, "And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give unto you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." You know, when I first started reading this, I would read over it. I wasn't taking hold of it. I was letting things pass. But my takeaway on this is what it says in verse 17, that the world cannot receive because they do not know him. The unbeliever or the world cannot receive, the world cannot receive because he doesn't adhere to him. We was talking to some people, and it's interesting at the campsite that sometimes you run across people that are lack of understanding and things, but they have enough in them, but they just don't further themselves in the knowledge of him. And, you know, it's what Jesus is saying to the disciples here, or the people that he's talking to, is that you are away, you have in you the ability to receive because he's in you. It's not your own ability, it's his. Verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," some translation says the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you." Jesus gives me his peace to know, and the peace is a Comforter, and he'll teach me all things. In other words, I'm up here talking right now, but he's the one that's going to teach you, the Holy Spirit, because I'm reading the Word, and the Spirit of God is in the Word. Amen? John, the 16th chapter. Well, let's go to Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, the 8th chapter, verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, this is one of the scriptures that that came to me in this past year, in the scriptures that spake so much volumes to me when I was walking a road that I'd never been down before. And Charles Capps was a great, his book that he put out was a great inspiration and a great help in acknowledging what the Word of God was saying. And this is one of the scriptures that he gave, and I have it written in my Bible that Heavenly Father, as I give voice to your word, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. And your life is energizing every cell of my body. See, it was building me up. And the more that you energize your spirit, your immune system, and get into the Word, it's very helpful. Another thing that I have written here is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, permeating his life through every vein, sending healing throughout my body. And you know, that was very helpful when I was reading. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and he does, it speaks volumes to me. And so it was just, you know, prayer is important, and reading the scriptures are important. And God is dealing with each and every one of us differently. Pastor has a way of being able to communicate. And little David up there at camp, he calls it conversation. He's 9 years old now, but he has conversations with God. But he also calls it prayer. And it's amazing to me, the little feller being 9 years old, that he takes from God everything that's important to him. You know, he takes to God, you know, from anything. I mean, there's when his papa has issues, he says, don't worry about it. God answers my prayers, and he's very bold about it. And so it's very important to him. Let's go back to John, the 14th chapter. That when we see that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, whom the Father will send at Jesus' request, it changes you. He shall teach you all things, verse 26, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Now let's go to John, the 16th chapter. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truths, for he shall he shall not speak of himself, but so whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me, and shall show it to you. all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So when we pray, it's our spirit is praying, and we need to hear from the Spirit of God, and lean on Him. 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have the unction unto the from the Holy One, and you shall know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is not a lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. You have an anointing. There's anointing that is that God has given us, the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When it talks about in 16, John's 16th chapter and 13th verse, it talks about the Holy Spirit and that He's come. He has come. And the Holy Spirit is hearing, and the Holy Spirit is guiding, and the Holy Spirit is speaking. And we got to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say, because He has been sent to us and abides in us. So we got, some would call it unction because that's what the Word says. Some would call it anointing because that's what the Word says. But it's the Holy Spirit working through us and in us, that from Him abiding in us. Let's go back to John, the 15th chapter. I know I'm sailing back in two, but and look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of Me. So He's got a purpose. And isn't it awesome that He uses us for that purpose? That there is some, the only God they see is the one they see in you and me. So we represent, some would say we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And we need to step into that, because the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus sent Him and He has come. And we can hear because of Him. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Now, we talked about in 1 John, the second chapter, it talked about the unction and the anointing. Verse 27 of the second chapter also says, the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. So the Spirit is indwelling in you. And that anointing is in you. How do you know? Let's go to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Follow after charity, or love. The King James Version says charity. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no one understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh a mystery. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto man edifying and exhortation and comforts. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. What is it saying? You're going to have an evidence of the Holy Spirit in you, and your prayer language will be part of that edification. We was talking to a couple there again at the camp, and they had went to one of the the individual's brother had quit going to a denominational church and went off south of Shelbyville there and went into a church and went to going there and wouldn't say too much about it. And he and his family decided they would go down and check this out. And in doing that, they got into the service, and they got to the church was worshiping, and they got happy, and some got to running, and pastor run out the church and around the church and come back in, and that was just a little bit too much for them, you know. And they, Deb, you can look up. They was talking about how that made him feel. They was very uncomfortable because they had never been in that situation. Now, they've been raised Lutheran, and they just couldn't understand, you know, when you go to church, there has to be order. And they said that they was speaking, there was language that they didn't understand, you know. And it was very confusing for them. And they was just confessing, you know, they didn't know what to do. And I wanted to, you know how well I like Scripture. I thought of this Scripture, and I thought, the Holy Spirit's give me this. I'm going to. And then they said something, and then he checked me on it. So I didn't. But I wanted to bring this scripture up that when a person prays in a language that you don't know, it's not unto you that they're praying. It's in an unknown tongue and not unto man. Man's understanding would not be there, you know. Well, they even made mention, you know, isn't there supposed to be someone that explains what they're saying, you know? And I said, well, sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't. But I said, I asked them, what did you do? Said, we got up and left. Said, we thought they was crazy. You know, and it's part of the family. And, you know, the daughter, the sister-in-law called them the next morning and talked with them. And they was gracious and said, well, they just needed to leave, you know. And she made some comments that they didn't want them to run off or anything like that. But it was a hard time to try to explain to them what the Holy Spirit was doing. Why is it sometimes that some get happy and some don't? Some step out and some won't. And I've been there. Have you ever been to church and you think that, hey, I sure hope the pastor don't say this or don't do this, you know, because this is going to run them off, you know. And then you get to thinking, go for it. Let's see what happens. Because the Holy Spirit knows how to teach him. The promise is that the Holy Spirit will teach him all things and bring to them what they need to know. But he does put people across your path and to help in a time. And pastors are, I liked how the pastors would handle that, but I was sure wishing pastor was there. You know, it would have been good. But let's go on. Let's turn to Ephesians, the first chapter. These are some of the prayers that I've kind of set down, and I'm picking them back up. Ephesians 1, the 17th verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we see right here that there's eyes in your understanding And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church. And who is the church? We are, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The third chapter of Ephesians, the 14th verse, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. See, our God is exceedingly abundantly above. He is able. God is able, according to the power that worketh within us. So that power works in us, right? Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, which world without end. Amen. Now, Philippians, the first chapter, the 9th verse, is another prayer. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of the righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. This, Deb and I had the opportunity to be in the camping world, to be with pastors, that we get a pastor from pastor, and to sit and visit with them, and talk with them, and feed off of them, and listen to them, and learn. And we was talking the other day about offense and how offense can change a person's life. And if you don't take hold of it and see what's happening, it can make you do things that you really don't want to do. But you get offended, and it's easy to be that way. But when I come to realize that I was probably the only one that recognized it, that the person that offended me probably didn't even know about it, I started looking at it different. But some people, when you talk with them, everyone I've talked to about that I was offended about something, they was very understanding, and I took it that maybe they had been there before. And the more I was able to communicate and really step on offense and realize that offense was under my feet, because offense come from the devil, it's easier to get through it, easier to recognize it and change. I've been known to walk away from situations instead of getting offended by it. You know, it's better to keep your mouth shut sometimes, because for myself, I may say some stupid things because I'm a work in progress. God's still working on me, but I want him to. I want to be able to recognize when things are coming down my path that I don't need to lean on my own understanding, but stand with the Holy Spirit's leaning and teaching and guiding me in situations. So You know, our understanding and wisdom and revelation comes by the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Paul was good enough to write to these churches. Now, do you think the church of Ephesus talked with the church over at Philippi and said, hey, Paul wrote me a letter, and he was talking about the prayer that he wrote us a prayer. And he told us that our wisdom and revelation, do you think they ever talked to him about that? Or Philippi call him and say, hey, Paul said, you know, I pray that your love may abound. Did he say that about you? No. They didn't communicate back and to. But we have the guidelines. We have the guidelines of things that we can walk out because we see that it's not just happening to us. It's happened before, and Paul seen it and wrote him a letter about it and said, hey, I pray that your love may abound more and more. Isn't that awesome? Colossians, the first chapter. One more prayer. I don't see anybody asleep yet. I'm almost done. For this cause we also, verse 9, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. He must have been quite a prayer. And desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So there's more places than one that he prayed that prayer. Wisdom and understanding. The eyes of their understanding that they would come to know. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness giving thanks unto the Father. With joyfulness giving thanks unto the Father. I said, with joyfulness giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, this is another scripture right here that I was reading that spoke volumes, okay? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. This is what I've got written in my Bible. Growths and tumors have no right in my body. They are the thing of the past, for I am delivered from the authority of the darkness. Growths and tumors have no right in my body because I've been delivered from the authority of darkness. There's all kinds of scriptures that God put in this word, in his word. These are things that he spoke. You was talking about the seed that God gave what he was saying to me when you was giving that. That seed that he gives is incorruptible. The seed that he gives the seed to sow, and it's incorruptible seed. The monies that he gives us to sow is incorruptible to sow. It will prosper. It will prosper. That's good. Now, I tie this up with the last scripture. Are you ready? 1 Thessalonians 5, the 23rd verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Verse 16 is a big verse. It says, rejoice evermore. You know, pray without ceasing, verse 17. Those are pretty small verses that we can memorize. I like them kind of verses. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, when I hear things or when I see things, I write them. I try to get a Bible that I can write in And this one I've got, I do have a lot written into it. And this is some of the things I've written in there. God's peace is in me. Is he in you? God's peace is in me. God sanctifies me wholly. Because I read it right there. God is faithful to me. I will rejoice. I will pray without ceasing. I will give thanks in everything. See, God is a good God, and God is faithful. This is, I hope that you'll take these prayers, and if you've set them down, because I know we all know this, I challenge you to pick them back up and walk them out, because God is good, and he has abundant supply for us. Father, we thank you for this time again. You are a good God. You are a loving God. Thank you for all you do. Father, I ask as we go from here that your word says you never leave us or forsake us, and we know that you're with us. Those ones that cross our path give us boldness to speak what you would have us to speak. The kindness of your word and gentleness of your love. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?
One of the things Pastor Dennis was talking about is the Holy Spirit is the one who has to teach us. And no matter what amount of tools you have, no matter how many books you have, no matter how many services you sit in, if the Holy Spirit is not teaching you, you're not going to get it. And I didn't understand that for a long time. I thought, well, this guy is a great teacher, and I get so much from him. But he was working with the Holy Ghost as the Holy Ghost poured it out to me, and I got a hold of it on the inside. But without the Holy Ghost teaching us, the greatest teacher in the world isn't going to get it across to me, because the Holy Ghost has to teach me that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those that love him." That's what all these things that we're talking about. It's what God has prepared for us. It's what God has given unto us through Christ. Everything that we have, he has given to us, is according to covenant. It's according to what he gave us in covenant. So when we see those things in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will cause it to give light to you. He'll give you illumination. Because it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those that love him. But he has revealed them to us how? By his Spirit." That's the very next verse. You go on down, "that we might know those things that are freely given to us of God." So one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to show us what God has provided us with. And we need to, again, as you know, when we were having the pre-service School of the Spirit, and then prayer time during that, we're learning to hook up with the Holy Ghost. We're learning to flow with him. When we learn to do that, and one of the ways that you do that is you get into the Word, as Pastor Dennis was talking about, praying the Word, praying the Word, praying the Word is so important. Praying the Word. You find a prayer in the Word of God, and man, you grab a hold of that. Why is that? Because in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, he says that, you know, you can have what you say. When you ask according to his will, when we ask according to his will, he hears us. Now, I like to think of that again as we have a legal hearing before the throne of God. We have that legal hearing. He hears everything, but it gives us that legal hearing before him. And then when we have that legal hearing before him, we stand before him. The answer is always yes. The answer is always yes. So when you find a prayer in the Word of God, get a hold of that. I think it was E.W. Kenyon said, prayer should be God looking down from heaven and seeing a mirror reflecting his word back to him. Man, I like that. In Isaiah 43, 25 and 6, "I even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, will not remember thy sins." He tells us to come together with him and together with him plead your case. The only way you can do that is with the word. So knowing the word of God, what he's talking about is praying the word of God. You find it in there. Man, you can get a hold of that. And those are the most effective prayers. You can have people that say flowery words. Dear Lord, I'll take the Word of God if it's two sentences over all the flowery words in the world. Because there's power because He spoke it. And when He speaks it, there's power connected with it. So when we pray the Word of God, it is an incredible thing.